5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to Flowing with Famous Your Fresno Podcast, where we talk about all the things that make Fresno the best place on earth. I am Joshua T. A.K.A. Famous Whitewater for the
That's not funny.
And Mike, CEO of the Darktown Network of
Podcasts. Hey, I'm here. The best place on earth. I'm actually in Fireball right now, so.
Which is adjacent to the best place on earth.
It's the best county on earth.
Some people, true. Some people love Fireball. So
Fireball, I think Fireball is cool and has a lot of potential. Like, it really could be, because it's on the river. It has you know, that core old little downtown.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, not that far from, you're closer to the Bay Area.
That is true.
It has its own vibe a little bit. And so, I don't know. It's always struck me as, like, not saying it's showing signs of it right now, but it could blow up as, like, some cool place to move. I can see it doing that.
Because of its proximity to the Bay Area, as maybe.
Like, yeah, or not so much that. Just bedrooms. It's on the river. It has these, like, you know, it could, you know, give it a couple, a few thousand more people, and it could turn into something.
Okay.
Kind of thing, you know?
There you go. All right. I haven't been there in long enough to be able to make those kind of judgments, but there you go. And I'm sure there are other people who would be able to chime in, Twitter followers.
It's kind of like how Chinatown is in Fresno. Like, it has like this history, and there's really cool buildings, and it just needs some energy
behind it.
It needs some hipsters.
To come in and do their hipster
thing. Import some more hipsters in the Fireball and Chinatown.
I'm sure we could figure it out. So
it's like the brain drain. Like Creative Fresno used to have, or I probably still do, I guess, the brain drain program. We just need a hipster
program. Get some people out there. Yeah, no, I'm totally. I would be willing. I feel like I'm a bit old now, officially, to be considered a hipster. I feel like you fall out of that at a certain age. There's a certain age where it's like, you quit being a hipster, and then you're just like a either cool or weird old man, one of the other. And I don't know which of those I fall into yet, but I'm definitely out of the hipster range, so I don't think I can do it, but I think there are some people who would be good to go and do that.
Oh, any neighborhood you move into, Josh, is going to be
instantly
hip,
cooler. So. Yeah, that's true. So, speaking of best place on earth, and the fact that some people don't believe that or like to poke us about the fact that Fresno kind of sucks.
We have this come up time and time again as we
time
go over
and time
our punchline.
And this time it was Ken Jennings, who is the first replacement host for Jeopardy since Alex Trebek died. So they're going to have like guest hosts come in for a while before they find a replacement host. And he's the first one. And the other day he tweeted this joke. And I don't have it in front of me, so I'm not going to be able to do it 100%. But essentially, he was watching Grapes of Wrath, and he said, Grapes of Wrath might be the only movie where the happy ending is moving to Fresno or something like that.
Yeah.
Which, and so a bunch of people, like Fresno people, so he tweeted it out. It got a bunch of replies. There were tons of the like Fresno, more like Fresyes. And then there was a lot of people like sharing the Fresno miniseries clips and, you know, Con Air and all the times that Fresno has been kind of dumped on in pop culture.
Yeah.
And a lot of people kind of got mad, as we do in Fresno. And I wanted to know, Like, was that a good joke?
No.
So take Fresno out of it. And I kind of feel like, objectively, if you're just looking at it from like a joke standpoint, so if I'm writing a book, if I'm taking like if I'm writing a joke like out of a book, like here's how to craft a joke, I feel like it has all the components that would make a funny joke. And when I saw it at first, I'm like, well, that's kind of clever. I mean, it hits the points for me in a lot of ways to be like, that's kind of a clever joke. And I don't like it because it's real simple. And the punchline is like played out to me, which is like, Fresno sucks. But I don't know. There was something about it. And that's why I asked the question on Twitter. Like, is it objectively, is this funny?
It only means something.
I didn't even say if it was funny. I was like, yeah. Is it a good joke?
But it's only to people. I mean, only people in Los Angeles, or I guess only people in California would like get that as being an attempt at being funny. Like anybody outside of California is like,
I've never heard of Fresno.
You have our own way city I hear cities. Of, like Tulsa or
right Ogden.
There was I don't like the, if somebody he did that joke, I'd be like, I don't okay. Right. So right. I mean, it's a playing to a small. It's that LA mentality and Bay Area mentality of like, well, we'll just kick Fresno because we can.
We're better.
Yeah.
To go to Fresno. The answer actually is in the joke, which is like, have you seen the movie or read the fucking book? Like, like you know, part of the thing.
Yeah, that's not even the ending to Grapes of Wrath.
Well, right. But part of the thing that makes Fresno cool and like is the heart of the thing is like, we're not the Bay Area, we're not LA, we're not those places. Like, and you can move there, cool. I mean, you know, if that's where you want to live, like whatever. But we're not those places. And truthfully, if you're someone who doesn't have a whole shit ton, like Fresno is a great place to be and to kind of like where you can thrive kind of as an underdog, I guess, or something, you know?
Yeah.
Like where you can come with like not a whole lot and really build something for yourself. And it's been that way for a whole long time. Like that's our entire history is people coming here and that's the fucking Grapes of Wrath, right? Like, or, you know, people coming here kind of out of desperation or like whatever, and then finding like, oh, there's a lot of fucking opportunity here if we just use it. And so in that way, the joke, it hurts a little bit when those jokes happen because it's like, fuck you. Like, what do you know? Like, have you even been to Fresno?
Mm-hmm.
And the second point on that was like, he tweeted that on the same day that a dude from Fresno won the show.
Yeah.
And so to me, I wondered like, well, ooh, I wonder if that's like if that was like an actual, like he did that on purpose or something like that, you know, he was reminded like he saw of Fresno. That,
right. He saw that it was from Fresno, somebody from Fresno won. And then that was in his head that Fresno was in his head.
Right.
Was living rent free. And Jennings' head is Fresno.
That's right. That's where we're going to be for a long time, buddy. In your head.
What's funny is he didn't even, like, there was so many of the replies to that tweet were about Fresno people basically, like, pumping up Fresno and basically telling them this is a bad look for you if you're trying to become the Jeopardy host.
Come on.
And he didn't reply to any of it. The only thing he replied to was like somebody saying like, dude, you've obviously not read the whole book. And he's like, well, I was talking about the movie, not the book.
True.
And this is the only thing he would reply to is correcting people on that. He did not say anything about the Fresno replies.
Right. Well, and you wonder like, okay, would Trebek have ever made?
No, that? No way. Yeah.
Trebek's got some fucking class.
And
I'm cussing a lot today, and I apologize.
respect to Mr. Trebek and his passing and stuff. So it's like, and this is one of his final, one of the final episodes that Alex Trebek, you know, did with this Fresno guy winning. And then, on top of that, Jennings is making Fresno jokes. It's just like, dude,
did you see, I
to me that just says like he does this and then he's done worse things in the past.
Oh yeah.
On Twitter.
Oh yeah.
A lot worse things. And then some, then some little Fresno joke. And then, Alex's replacement when he's conducting himself like that. It's just like, I don't think you have the sensibilities for this job.
Right. You got to have some fucking class. You got to have some class to do Jeopardy. Mm-hmm. You know, that's like the thing about Jeopardy. And I had talked with, Fred Nelson is the guy from Fresno, is a professor here. He's the chair of the liberal arts department, I think.
You might have had his class.
So he won the first night. I don't know how he did the second night, but, you know, he was saying like the legacy of Jeopardy aside from Trebek is like that. It's a show that you go on and like, you don't have to play down. You know, like you can be as formal and stuff like as you want to be. I mean, you can have fun with it, but you can also be very like serious and, you know, and that's good. Like that's seen as a positive, you know, whereas so many game shows, it's like you go on and you make yourself look like a fool and then that's how you get your money or whatever. And this is like a whole different thing. There's like a cachet about it. And so it means something when, you know, you can go through that whole process and get on the show and then do well. And that's something that's being, and so when this guy, who wants to be the host, I guess he wants to be the host, comes and just behaves kind of like a jackass. It's like, you may not be the perfect guy for this.
It's like, basically it's, you know, it's, he's in this period where they're, you know, ABC people are watching him.
Right.
And he's doing this kind of stuff when he's being watched. So it's like,
ABC has a, station, like one of the, it's like owned and operated affiliates in Fresno,
right?
So that definitely can't be a good look for him. So
we'll raise some big cane if he gets hired permanently.
That's right. We'll remind them every episode. Hey, remember when he made this terrible joke about Fresno? What made me maddest about it was that. In all the replies, everyone just had to start doing the Fred's Yes thing, which is like...
Come on, let's, from this day forward, Fresnans, we don't need to see the Fred's Yes replies. We don't need to see the Fresno miniseries replies. Those are, we're past those, okay?
We're past all that. And we should call others out for it.
Call her own out. It's like, knock it off.
me and you do a good job. We, you know, it's like you come to Fresno, you start in with that Fres Yes crap. We're at least
I'll leave a concert now. First song, I'm like, oh come on, let's
Fres
go.
Yes, nope.
We're going. He did the Fres Yes joke. Let's go.
We're Rolling Stones.
I don't give a shit.
We're done. I don't care.
I don't say Fresno. I say Fres Yes.
Screw you, Mick Jagger. Right. God. Boo. Everyone starts booing that.
Boo. You suck.
Anyway, don't make fun of Fresno. We don't like it. And,
no. We don't care who. We don't care if you're from Firestone Walker. Or from AV's, from Jeopardy. We will.
Right. We come at will. We'll come at you. We don't take kindly to people putting down our city. At least come visit our city before you dump on it. And then if you could come here and maybe have some good examples, like, you know, hey, I went to blank business and was treated terribly. Or, you know, I went to Fresno to try to find this thing and was, you know, whatever it is. And then you shit on, okay, cool. Make sure you get those examples in there so that we can all jump in and go, oh yeah, I've been there. I know what you're talking about. otherwise, just hold that in. Hold that in for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Joe Rogan.
Yeah. Yeah. You could have done.
At least Joe Rogan gave us a specific example of something.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he was, and probably wasn't, well, he was extrapolating from his experience to the entire city, and he was incorrect on that.
Right. But he saw a homeless guy, and he's like, "Boy, brother."
He saw some chunks of Chinatown, and, the hipsters haven't gotten to Chinatown yet. So no.
This is back to our point. He doesn't need have to a import. Good idea.
And as soon as the hipsters get there, I mean, it's going to...
Oh, look out.
Joe Rogan will be there every day. Because the hipsters... Do the hipsters like Joe Rogan?
I don't think those communities overlap.
I can't ever tell who Joe Rogan's fan base is.
His fan base is weird, man. It's all over the place.
I have no idea. Like, yes, because it just so many random people I know will be like, "Hey, you listen to Joe Rogan podcast, blah, blah, blah." I'm like, why did you listen to that?
I'm like, wait. Yeah, because it's just been like, he has every kind of person listening, I guess. So.
Right. Which, I mean, maybe says something good about him.
I guess. I don't have any time. Ooh.
So we went all in on that early in this episode, but there has been other stuff happening.
Something that I don't think it's been a while since we were recorded. Something I think we missed maybe was the Mayor Lex circle of friends all got COVID.
Yeah. The super spreader event.
Yeah,
the super spreader event. It wasn't the mayor-elect. Well, so I think the contact tracing brought it all back to Brandow. And essentially what happened was there was a party on election night, an election night party that was a bunch of people were invited to. And a bunch of people got together and none of them had masks. And then a couple days later, Steve Brandow was the first and he was like, "Oh, I have COVID and, you know, and whatever." And then it was just the dominoes started to fall. And then it was Jerry Dyer, Darius Asemi, that's an interesting little thing also that happened. That this developer was at this party with these guys, but there were several anyway that were at this party who came down. I don't know if it officially ranks as a super spreader event. Like, I don't know if there's an official 17, like how many people,
but 10 plus. Here,
right. For us, I believe it felt like a super spreader event because every day for like that week, another person was coming out and going like, "Oh, you know, I have it." So Jerry Dyer and his wife both got it. Like I said, Darius Asemi, Brandow, the mayor, the actual. So Lee Brand was there. Well, first he wouldn't admit. Like at first, there was a question of whether he was there, but he ended up he was there. And
was he initially saying like, "No, bro, I wasn't there."
Well, I think initially it was like it wasn't like they denied that he was there. They just wouldn't comment or whatever, I think it was. And then eventually somebody must have confirmed it, you know, that he was there. But he had been tested a bunch of times and did not get sick. But the interesting thing was, Brandow was sick and, you know, kind of did the thing that they tell you not to do. And, you know, to his credit, he did not think that he had COVID, you know. So, like, the symptoms, he didn't have a fever, like, whatever. But he went to work. He went to work. He felt sick. And then, that day and the next day, he went to work and he went to a party. And he was feeling sick. And apparently they, you know, everyone was shaking hands and
just had to go to that party, boy. That was important.
I mean, it was election night. It was election night. And, you know,
that's true.
Anyway, and so it was a big thing. And you know, I think that they all are doing well now.
It's been, I haven't really seen anything. I'm not paying attention enough, but like, it seems like they've been really quiet since that happened.
I mean,
like maybe it just actually humbled them a little bit.
You know, I talked to Brandow for my job, you know, at the BM, and it kind of seemed like, and he, you know, you never know, because who knows? I mean, maybe he's just saying stuff to say stuff because he knows he's talking to a reporter. But you know, it did seem like he had maybe changed his mind a little bit on things and was like, you know, hey, you do need to wear masks and you do need to, you know, keep that social distance and whatever. But he also was sure to make sure that the political side got there too, which is like, we don't know what this COVID really does or who's going to get infected. And so while you should be doing all that other stuff, I'm not really saying, no one, it's you're either going to get infected or you're not, you know. So it was like yes, take precautions, but you could still get infected, you know, like that.
Mm-hmm.
So but you know, I think the other thing is you know, depending on how serious the symptoms were too. You know, and I don't think that any of them had to be hospitalized or anything like that. So, but definitely it was, you know, it was interesting. We had
our we're on lockdown again.
We're on lockdown again. Back to where we were.
Back to no, you can't even eat outside at a place, right?
Which is, you know, and the thing, I mean, at least we're not alone, you know, because I would feel worse if it was like, all the rest of California was fine.
Yeah, and I'd worry about that. Like, if San Francisco and LA are like, we're cool here. Oh, look at Fresno. They can't figure it out.
So, I mean, at least we're not alone. But I mean, it's bad. And like, in my mind, it's like, well, what did you think? What did we think was going to happen?
Every expert was saying this is what's going to happen.
It's 100%.
Too many people are like, whatever. You don't know what you're talking about.
You could just look around. Like I on social media, like I'm seeing pictures of places, and people out, and there's bands playing at whatever place, and there's people out watching, and no one has masks on, and you know they're at a distance, I guess, and they're outside, I guess, but it's like, they're still interacting as if nothing was the problem. And, you know, I'm not going to blame anyone necessarily for doing that. You know, like, I'm not going to, in some ways you want to be like, come on. If you're a business, like, how could you, like, you know that we're in a pandemic and I get that you have to like survive, but like, that's crazy that you would want to have a band, like bring a guy in to play music that you know is going to bring people in.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And like, and again, I get that you have to do that as a business owner, but to me, it just seems like a real, I don't know. It just, it kind of left, it leaves a bad taste in my mouth in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You know, whereas I appreciate Zach's Brewing, because like they didn't open up immediately when they could have.
Mm-hmm.
And
there, you know, and that was a conscious decision.
And then they actually shut down their garden like before, like they weren't open this weekend, you know. And maybe it was like they knew this was coming possibly, but also but you know, I think it was more of like, well, we just can't, and like, we don't feel like we can do it safely or whatever. And so I kind of appreciate that, you know,
Right. It's like, there's like a business. I mean, I know them personally, so I kind of know that I know how safe they're, like, they're 100% believe all this and
are, right,
you know, doing everything they can to be safe. They're not like, they're not like one of those that are just like, you know, don't tell us what to do. We'll do what we want. They're just like, they want to be as safe as possible. So like, so I feel like I can go there and trust them, and I'm not worried about, as long as I'm staying outside, I'm not worried about them because I know they're taking it seriously.
Right.
Whereas
right.
there's other businesses that are just like, they don't, you know, they're like blaming Newsom. They think Newsom's doing this to them personally or something. Right. And they're just like, and I mean, you, we're going to do so what we want.
I get that. I understand the frustration. And I understand, like, you know, people who are like, yeah, you're taking my business and saying that I can't operate. Meanwhile, there are other places that are being allowed to operate, like, kind of, you know, unhindered.
Like, yeah.
You know, and so I get the frustration there. My problem is I feel like the frustration is pointed at the wrong people, you know? And so it's like, or it's in the wrong place. So because what
in the wrong place,
what they should be saying, they shouldn't be saying like, we need to open up, you should let us be doing business. They should be saying like, okay, we're closed. You need to be getting us money. You need to be giving money to my employees. You need to be, that's where it needs to be. Like, it needs to be like, fine, we understand that we can't operate safely and we have to be closed. Okay, how are you going to make this? How are we going to, together as a community, as a state, get through this, you know, get through this in a way that's safe? You know, and we need to eat, you know?
Right.
So that's where I feel like they should be putting their, like, all of those rallies that are like, hey, allow us to open, should have been rallies like, hey, give us some more, get us some more PPE, get us some more unemployment insurance for our employees, get us, you know, that's where it should have been, in my mind, you know, because really, like, truthfully, all things equal, if you could get money from the government, who cares about your business right now?
Right.
Like
if you can get the money that replaces what you would be doing.
Right. If you could pay your bills, and if you could shut down tomorrow, right, and pay whatever bills that you needed to pay to make it through, and you know, there would be cuts and things that might happen, but you could, you know, if whatever they did, maybe they put a, you know, a hold on all rent until this thing, whatever they did, but if you could make it, then who cares about, then isn't human life more important than this business that you would just, you can just start up at the end of this?
Yeah.
You know?
And then, you know, everything would be, and everything would come back faster. Like, we would.
Yes.
Instead of having to wait till the summer, we could have been coming back in the spring or whatever, you know?
That's right. And we know that, you know, all of these restaurant owners pushed for that early reopening back in whenever. And then once it was reopened, there was just no way. I mean, it was just a tumble, because it was like, as soon as they reopened, it wasn't just the reopening in my mind. It wasn't just having the places reopen and being able to go there. It was like people took that as a sign that things had returned to normal when they had not. So they, even though the places were open and had precautions, people were acting as if, well, it's over, so I don't have to do, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that's where our problem, that's with it. Personally, I don't know if that's 100% true. That's just from what I saw. And I also did see a lot of people, even though they warned, they said, don't do it. Thanksgiving day, I was on my bike. I was kind of riding around and would not believe the amount of people I just saw partying it up. Like,
hanging,
you know. And so that's why we're at where we're at right now, which is whatever, 3-5 days after, you know, a week or whatever after Thanksgiving, you know. So there it is. That was my rant of. We got a little.
Hopefully, this summer we can return back to normal. I know lately I've been missing, and even, you know, the past couple of years I haven't been going out that much, but once in a while still, I've been missing seeing bands play.
Oh, yeah,
And I know, God, you must be just like going crazy, well, not being able to play. So it's just you're as much as a enjoyer as you are a musician. Right. So it's like,
well, I mean, it's funny because I feel like that to me, like I've kind of gotten over that like thing of like needing to go out and play. And like, you know, I don't make money off of that. So, so it's different for me than a lot of people. But I'm kind of like, man, I can figure out a different way to get that stuff. And I've been like playing my own music and doing stuff on my own. And so that's, you know, it's not great, but it's fine.
Right.
But I do miss going out. And someone had posted the other day, like, hey, what are the shows that you had planned coming up that got canceled? And I had a list. There was like five or six, like really good, like shows that I like bands I wanted to see that were canceled because of that. And you know, for me, probably on a normal like month, I was going to see at least 3-4 shows every month, and a lot of those were traveling out of town, you know.
You did a lot of out of town shows.
And I had a bunch planned for this year, you know. I was gonna go see Rammstein, I was gonna go see Nick Cave, and you know, and all that kind of got put on the back burner. So that has been tough. So hopefully we'll get a vaccine, we'll get people on the vaccine, and we'll get back to sort of normal.
Yeah. Big 2021. It'll go back show coming summer.
Let's do it. 2021.
Do it. Well, I think we've got a lot more stuff to talk about, but we're talking about music now, so maybe we'll just take a little music break here.
Yeah. You want to play the song first, and then we'll jump into what it's all about.
All right, here's some Atari Champ, Falling Floor. We'll be right back. Kings.
That was cool. And the reason we picked that is because this is part of a local compilation that was released on Bandcamp. It was like a compilation of emo bands, Fresno emo bands from what, like late 90s to mid 2000s? I can't remember.
Yeah, roughly.
There's a date on there. And this
Fresno emo.bandcamp.com. Yeah. Fresno emo.bandcamp.com. So good. Like, if you want to check it out.
Like, and if you look at, just run down the list of the bands on there, I mean, you forget, like, you know, these things come in waves. And like, at any given time, there's just like a ton of really good bands playing, but that you kind of maybe forget about. Right. And so this was one of those for me where I was just like, oh yeah, remember Main Horse?
Mm-hmm.
Man, that, those guys were great. Remember, you know, whatever, all these bands that I hadn't really thought about in a long time. And here they were on a comp. So that was really cool. And I think anyone who's like into Fresno music history, or anyone who's like wants to know, like, hey, man, remember that particular time?
These things are
super cool.
Right. And we always talk about, I mean, for years, we've always sort of tried to crystallize a Fresno sound. And there's been all these little pockets, and like,
right.
There's been like the Fierce Creatures pocket of bands around that universe. And this emo is another one. Yes. And you could say that there's a Fresno sound out of that.
Right,
you know,
if
one of those bands would have hit nationally, then you would say like, oh, look at all this emo stuff from Fresno.
Right. There probably would have. Yeah. Like, it could have been, we could have had our own like Midwest emo scene here in Fresno had any of these bands like really kind of. Yeah. But, and so that guy, Ryan, you know, the guy who did this, his name, Ryan, he's in a bunch of local bands. He works in Raging Records. And he's just a really cool guy.
I don't know him, but I know who he is.
He's one of these guys, that's like really has been doing a lot, like not underground, but just behind the scenes stuff for like a long time, and really like holding it down, and doing some really cool stuff, and doing it like, in my mind, like it's definitely do it yourself, but like he's doing it in like a legit way, or trying to do it in a legit way. And so I was happy to see this thing come out. This is really cool. So
he did a lot of stuff in the, if I remember correctly, not the CYC, but the
Info
the
Shop.
The place that was
Info
there.
Shop. Yeah.
Info Shop. Yeah.
Yeah. He did a lot. He did a lot of stuff at CYC. He did a lot of stuff at the Info Shop. He's been in a bunch of bands. He was in that Cabin Fire, and he was in Wallflower, and can't remember the bands he's in now. He's in several bands still. But does a whole lot. One of those guys, like, and there's a few of them, and that's what keeps the scene going, right? Is you have these guys who are into it and really passionate, who just like toil all the time to make this stuff happen.
And they actually stay here instead of going to LA Bay Area or something.
Yeah, and he actually, you know, him and his partner have opened that, I think it's called Sour Milk. It's like the shop within Raisin Records.
Oh, okay.
So, like, have you been there?
Yeah.
So there's like that little shop that.
Yeah,
like
that little sort of retail.
Right.
Thing inside of there.
And they have like all these crazy T-shirts and like all this stuff. And they did a really cool thing for Halloween where they did like they brought in like all sorts of like retro Halloween stuff. So they had like VHS tapes of horror movies and old horror movie posters, and they really curated it just for Halloween. And they were open for they had like 2 weeks or 3 weeks where they were just selling like all this horror movie kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So it was really cool. It's a really cool shop, and it's inside of Tower, or inside of Raging Records.
Yeah, which is next to Vinny's.
Which is right there next to Vinny's, which you should go. That's, you know, we finally have some really good record stores.
Yeah.
I feel like in
between Tower District Records and Raging.
Yeah.
And doing all right.
What's awesome about it is they both have like, which is any good record store should have its own personality.
Yeah.
Right? And it's the own thing that it does. And so it's like, it shouldn't be like you just go to whatever record store and, you know,
they're all the same. Store,
right. They have to be kind of curated by the owners and the people who work there. And I feel like they are. And so, depending on what you're looking for, one or the other is going to probably have what you want. And they both have really the cool stuff. And so we should feel lucky to have both those shops.
Yeah. Once we're 100% back to be, you know, we got to fully support all those kind of places.
I think we should, if you want to support them now, I know that Raging Records is doing mail order now. And they're really good about like working with the distributors to get stuff. So if there's new stuff that you want and they can get it from the distributor, I think they'll do that for you. And then Tower District is doing this really awesome thing where they do like online, like a live auction almost, where they'll
do their Instagram.
Through their Instagram, I think, where you can watch and they'll bring up a record and they'll talk about it, whatever. And then the first person to like say, give me, they get it. And you just Venmo them like right there. And then they'll ship it out to you or whatever. So
nice.
They've been doing that for a while and it's really cool. And it's cool because they'll tell you, they'll just go through a bin, you know, and they'll be like, oh, this is the record by blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they're real knowledgeable about. So it's kind of like a cool way to learn about music.
Right.
So, and they have some really good stuff in there. So,
Before we move off, Fresno Music, we, our Patrick Contreras, got something for himself going.
Yeah. So he finally released like a full length, album of like his, of original music. And he did this push, like a really hard push, to get it on the charts. So Amazon charts, I think it was Amazon, iTunes, Billboard. And he was number one, I think, on the Amazon Latin charts, or was it iTunes, or was it both? I don't know. Anyway, he was number one on one of the charts on Amazon and on iTunes. And he was number nine, I think, on the Billboard classical crossover chart. So, which is really cool. And I think it was like, you know, Bocelli was number one or whatever. So it like, that's the kind of people that make this, this chart. But, so did really well. And I don't know like what that translates to in terms of streams or albums sold or anything like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, because it's definitely not like it was back in the day. You know, in some ways, it's like, I don't want to say it's easier to get on the charts because I don't want to take away from what he did, because it's really awesome that he was he was able to get it up there and be number one on the chart for a while. And especially like the people that he was kind of competing with up there, so. It's really cool. I'm glad to see that he's doing it, and especially like right now, to see a musician like thriving through this is really, it's cool, you know. And I mean, I think this is Patrick's been someone who's been able to really like parlay the pandemic like into something. Like I feel like he's been working harder during the pandemic than he did before. And so and he's been more visible, and, you know, in some ways it's like, well, that's really smart right now to release an album and to push it, to push people toward it, because that's all that they have, you know, so you can't get people to come see you live necessarily, although he's doing his little, like, you know, front porch concerts or whatever. But, you know, having that album and really pushing it out there and really, you know, getting people to see it. I mean, it's cool. It's good to see. So
yeah, congrats to Patrick, and check out that fresnoemo.bandcamp.com if you want.
Totally
We have some sadness that's happened in November for Fresno, and we've lost the Nationals as a AAA affiliate of being the Nationals, and now we have nobody.
We have no one.
Left out in the cold, and Major League Baseball is saying, either take a single A team or eat or pound sand. So
yeah. What is this, man? Like, I don't follow baseball. I don't know. Is it really that big of, I mean, so people are like, so I understand that, like, you know, AAA is like, you know, one, you know, the team that we had is like one down from the majors, and right. they're trying to put us like three down from the main, whatever, however.
Right.
But what I wonder is, like, does it really, like, does it matter? Does it matter that, like, for the normal people coming out, you know,
yeah,
is the gameplay going to be any different? Is it going to be
it will matter to baseball fans. It won't matter to, you know, random person going to a Grizzly game just because, hey, it's an event. Yeah, I like the food. I like to just chill and watch the game or whatever. Right. Right. That person, they're not going to see any difference. Mm-hmm. It's the baseball fan that's going to see the difference, and the gameplay is not as good.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get the players, like, you know, AAA has players that are in and out of the majors.
Oh yeah, I mean,
players rehabbing. Right. So there's for baseball fans, it's a big difference. For random person, you know, which is probably more the attendance. I'm betting that people that are going to a Grizzly game, there's more people just going there just to see, hang out at a baseball game, mm-hmm. than there are baseball nerds that are like, oh my God, this guy is, you know, going to be a big star, and I come out to see this guy. So, right. I mean, to your point, there's a large section of people going to Grizzly game that's seeing a single A game won't matter that much.
Right.
But there is for the baseball fan, it will matter. So it's like, it's a struggle for me. It's like, do we just take a single A and just have something there, or do we wait it out? Because there's been teams that have just went independent or just waited it out and ended up getting a mm-hmm. team. And it's been frustrating for Fresno to have this perfect stadium. And we've been sort of gypsy team for a few years, right. You know, it's just, right. we're the last, we've been that last chair and musical yeah. chairs for a while now. And that's been sort of annoying. And now we're just left with nothing. It's a bummer.
Well, I have to say, just from like an experience standpoint, like, I don't know if you've ever been down to Visalia and they have the team down there.
Since I was a kid.
Moving into, right?
Yeah. I haven't been to an Oaks game or anything since I was a kid.
So I think they're called the Rawhide now.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So apparently you haven't been to a game down there before. No. But from an experience standpoint, if you just drive by and look at the stadium, I mean, it's a much different experience. Like, you know, the Chetansy Park, I mean, it's a legit, and I don't think maybe people understand like the difference it makes, but it's a legit thing. Like, if you go down to Visalia and you see their stadium, they have a stadium and it's set up, but it's maybe not even as good as what the college team plays on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so it is unfortunate. And you wonder if, you know, if we go down to that lower level, we will definitely have the best stadium of any of the teams.
Right.
The best facilities, the best
single A team, place anywhere.
It would just destroy. So, you know, I don't know. I feel like if the people, the community comes out and supports in the same way, if it doesn't drop off, like the numbers don't drop off hugely, to me, it's like, well, maybe it doesn't matter, you know, other than right. from a prestige, an ego level, I get it. Like, fuck you guys,
yeah.
Major League Baseball. Like, why do, like, what did we ever do to you except to give you, you know, some championship teams, you know,
right.
Like, what did we ever do to you except for give people an awesome experience and definitely like some of the greatest like sports marketing
right.
the league.
Award-winning sports marketing. We've been solid in attendance in comparison to the rest of AAA.
You know, and so I get maybe...
We've done everything we can do.
Right. And part of this is like the Major League Baseball like reconfigured itself this year, right?
Yeah.
So that's like part of this is that there just aren't as many... there aren't as many AAA teams or whatever.
Right.
And so they had to get rid of somebody, and we just happened to be. And a lot of people are saying that there was some talk about whether or not it's the airport, you know, the travel
experience. Yeah, that was some of it, but it's like, it's not, it isn't, it's a factor, but it's not the, you know, it's not a make or break thing. It's just, mm-hmm. it's a small negative. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a negative, but it's not anything that's making.
Because then
if we had the perfect airport pricing and flights, I think this might still be happening, you know?
Oh, really?
I think so.
Then what's the case? Because, I mean, it seems like we have a great stadium. We have decent attendance. We have, you know, good, the teams have, like, you know, the management or whatever has been good because our teams seem to do well within the league.
Right.
You know, we get national, the team itself has got national attention for its marketing. Like, so why do we keep getting boned?
It's just that whole, man, the Giants leaving us really screwed us. I mean, because it was just the perfect marriage of like, we're right close by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've got a huge Giants fan base. And it was, everything was just perfect for that. And just once they left, it really screwed. We were just fending for ourselves. And unfortunately the A's, it was right around the time the A's were looking for one, which would have been perfect. But right. then they went to Las Vegas. So,
it seems like there should be, we should be able to figure something out. Come on.
Yeah. It's just, I think it's just, I don't know, bad. We've just not had good luck with the timing of when teams switch their cities as far as AAA goes. And we're the odd man out, unfortunately.
And what would you like to see?
Well, in a perfect situation, I'd like to be the A's. Right. I'm an A's fan, so.
Of the two options that we have now.
All of those options. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. If we could be assured that, like, all right, we'll take this low class single A for a couple years, and then once somebody's AAA contract comes up and they're looking for a new city, we'll be the ones that will get picked, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I'm worried that, like, if we take that single A, then we'll just be forgotten about. Forever. Like, we'll be a single A guy forever. It's like if you're at work and you become really good at one thing, and they're like, okay, you're the guy that does that thing, we'll just hand you all that work. And you're just like, well, I want to do other stuff. You're like, nope, you're the guy for that thing.
I need a promotion. Well, we can't promote you because we need you in this
position. Yeah, we need you doing that thing because you're really good at it. Yeah, so that's what I'm like worried about is like, they're just be like, all right, well, you're single A now. Well, you know, we'll see you later.
Yeah.
And so I feel like if we weren't a single A and we were out there independently waiting for something, we might have better luck getting a AAA team in the future. But I don't know.
We could just put our hat in the ring every year.
Right.
That they do their thing and hopefully.
But then how does the team ownership, what's the city do? And then who's going to pay the rent on that if they're
in the meantime? Right, because
the owners of the Grizzlies are going to do.
Right, because it's just going to be sitting there empty. And I think that's the thing is that we're kind of in a spot now because we created this thing with the assumption that the team's going to be there, that they'll be able to keep the stadium filled for a specific, you know, amount of time each year. So it's kind of like, well, if you don't have baseball coming in, what do you have? Well, nothing. So what do you do with it? And then it just becomes this thing that's losing money, and eventually there's going to be no upkeep on it, you know? I mean, right? And eventually it's going to And that's a big hole in downtown if that thing is not used, you know. I mean, right. a big hole. So to me, if I'm in the city, you know, I'm doing everything I can to figure out, like, well, how do we keep this thing? How do we keep something going in here? You know, and I would be pushing to you know, but that's just me.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. If we can be a single-A team and get out of it fairly easy,
right?
You know, I would say let's just take single-A and, you know, eat it for a couple of years with that.
Right.
But
there's no guarantee that.
Right.
That you, yeah. Man. So, in other sort of sporting news, there was word the other day that the city is doing some reconfiguring with the convention center so that they can make it available to be sold, with the idea that it might be sold to Fresno Fuego,
who
would use it to, I assume, build a home for themselves, an outdoor stadium where they could play.
That's crazy. Like, but are they talking about, like, tearing something down to, like,
I mean, I assume space? They would have to. I think they're talking about the actual convention center building and probably into that parking, the parking lot behind it.
Okay.
So
I like the place where they used to do roller derby, that spot. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't know. I mean, I think the convention, you know, the convention, like the
not the section that's next to Celland Arena, like almost.
Well, I think it would attached. Include. So I don't. I think it would include the Celland Arena.
Oh.
I think it would include the Celland Arena. It would not include the new, like, annex part. It would not include the Soroyan Theater. But I think it would be the Celland Arena. And that part that's accompanied right there, and then the parking lot section.
So that would mean tearing down Celland Arena?
It would mean I think that's.
Oh, you know, my gosh.
Which, I mean, the thing about it is, in some ways, it's like, look, the Celland Arena hasn't been really, you know, so in the last few years, it has been doing better, but it hasn't been a viable venue in the way that it was for at least since the Save Mart Center opened.
Yeah.
So you do have a thing that is just sitting there, and, you know, we're paying money out to SMG, you know, to run it, essentially. And I am not sure, you know, if it's positive for the city, in terms of, you know, so in some ways it's like you do have a facility that's kind of run down and needs to be updated anyway. And, you know, if you could clear space for it, and if there's someone that wants to buy it and actually turn it into something that, you know, if the team is doing it, then you can be you would be more assured, I would think, that they would be, that that's something that's going to stick around, because they're going to have that investment in it.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's, we know just, that, like, that's wild.
Well, and it's weird that this is coming up now, and it didn't come up whenever the other team was here, you know, when the Foxes were here and were looking for places and couldn't figure anything out. And then suddenly it's like Fuego's like, so I don't know what the, you know, if there's some kind of behind the scenes, whatever that was going on, or if it's they don't need as much space or what it is. I don't know. But I think, do we need another? I mean, some of this is predicated on, like, what happens to the baseball team, because it's like, do we need another? Do we need another something down there? Do we need that down there? I mean, we definitely need, I think, a professional sports team. We need a soccer team. You know,
we, like, deserve we a it. Soccer team, but we deserve need, a triple-A team too.
We need so it, I'm like, you know. Ah. Well, in some ways, I think we deserve a soccer team more, because I think we have the number of people who are attending the games is going to be smaller for soccer, right? But I feel like there's way more of a community there that like is ready and hungry to build the thing,
right?
And so I think we have way more, we have way more of an opportunity with soccer than we do with baseball right now, in my mind.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, we definitely need pro sport. We gotta have. I mean, that's just, if you're a city, that's a thing that you have. Anyway, a big city to have pro sports. And we don't, you know.
It would be wild if you're taking out the selling the arena factor and just like a brand new soccer stadium in downtown, and you're like, yes, rad. Mm-hmm. Do everything you can to do that, and then it's like, well, we're gonna tear down Cellon Arena to do it. I'm like, go somewhere else?
But I feel like you have, because you are grew up in a particular time,
and yeah.
I am the same. There is a fondness for Cellon Arena that maybe doesn't exist for other people.
Yeah, you know? I mean, but like, dude, seeing show at Cellon Arena way better than a show at Save Mart.
I agree, but truthfully, that it's not happening. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, I agree with you 100%. I feel like seeing Queens of Stone Age, regardless of the size of the size of the crowd, was an amazing show to see there, and a lot of the shows that I have seen in the past, amazing and much better than what I've seen at the Save Mart Center. You also have to think that like the music, well, and COVID is kind of messed up, but
yeah.
Sound Arena can't even handle the size and scope of the things that are happening, So, I mean, I that's a hard one for me too. It's a hard one,
Yeah.
But I'm always, I tend to like go with like, well, progress, And like err on the side of progress. Well, is this going to move us forward in something? Then are there opportunities that we get? Let's at least look at it a little more. But I don't know.
Keep watching out.
I think they're more. The city definitely is moving forward to reclassify this as they have to reclassify the building as a certain. They have to reclassify the building so that they could put it up for sale. And I think that, I think they voted on, or they're going to vote on. So that's definitely happening. And then I believe that's the reason is that the Fuego is interested in it. And so this is the first step that has to happen before anything else. So it's definitely first. Yeah. Very early steps.
You heard it here. I'm Floyd with Vapus first.
You probably read it in the Fresno B first. That's where I found out about it. But
oh, okay.
Yes.
Fresno B. I've got my Sunday paper with me.
Ooh.
Is it in the Sunday paper, Josh? Can I read it?
Oh, I don't know if it's in today's paper. It might be, actually, because this was reported Friday, so it could be in Sunday's paper.
The headline for the Fresno Bee reads, "Stay at home order coming Sunday for Fresno region."
Oh, yeah, man.
It's there. On the front page.
Boom.
Fresno may allow Cellon Arena to be sold. Fuego interested.
There you go. See? Bam.
By Mr. Miller wrote this up.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that is. Covering City Hall, doing a great job. He's all over it, man.
Let me see. No, oh man, there's no Josh on the front page.
That's okay.
Yeah, come on.
Let's
get a Josh story going.
Yeah. Well, I don't. I didn't do a whole lot this week. I wrote about Rafer Johnson passing.
Okay.
So that was a big one. Not so much for Fresno, because he's more of a like South guy. He was big for me because I'm from Kingsburg and he's a Kingsburg guy.
Yeah.
though.
Where was he living before he passed away?
I think he lived in LA or not around here. He hasn't lived in the area for a long time, but he would come back periodically. Cause you know, Kingsburg has the school named after him. And so he would do stuff, you know, whatever down there. So, but I'm not sure he'd been back here for a while. I think it was the last time we had written anything about him, but, yeah. Well, what all else? Right, anything yeah. else?
I think we're good.
No, that's it. Okay. That was a good one. And we'll be back. And when we're next time, it's going to be the new year.
Ooh. We're going to have to do
2021.
Our...
We're going to be out of all of this. We're going to have to do what now?
Yeah. Well, everything will be all better.
Everything will be perfect. We'll wake up on January 1st, and it'll be like, what? What happened? That was such a weird dream. That was a weird dream I had.
Yeah, that was a huge fever dream.
We were in the middle of a pandemic, and
they were talking about tearing down Sound Arena, and it was crazy.
Ken Jennings was talking shit on Preston. Was just insane. Alex Trebek died. I just what were you saying? We need to do. We'll have to do what next time on our next.
We'll do our look back and look forward.
Oh episode. Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great. Well, I mean, our look back is going to be
How fun 2020 was.
I mean, really, the look back is going to be like, well, so we got through January and February, and then,
yeah. Right.
There was a lot of stuff, actually. It's interesting, even though, I mean, it feels like the pandemic was really, like, overarching everything. But we did manage some other stuff, so.
Yeah.
All right, well, if there's nothing else, then I'm going to count us out.
All right. Well, we can plug it up, Josh.
We got to plug it up. How did I forget?
Plug it up.
All right, how about you go first?
TheFresden.com is my blog. It's still there, and once in a while I'll post when I can post, and then I got a newsletter going called Fresno.substack.com, and my intent is to be every Wednesday, but it seems like it's been every other Wednesday lately, so I'm figuring out scheduling my time better, I guess.
I understand that.
Still working that out. Working the kinks out of my newsletter. And then every Friday, a new Perfect Pour.
Mm-hmm. Craft beer podcast.
Craft beer podcast. Lots of local talk in there with the Nick and Matt from Tioga Scoia.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then occasionally have a... another podcast called Get Off My Podcast. Harrison Ford show. I do a Trent, and we do that. We try to get one in a month, but it doesn't always work out. But we did do one this past month, so there's a new one to listen to.
Very good.
And I also have a beer newsletter called Drinking and Thinking. Drinkingandthinking.substack.com.
So I have all of my musical, first I'll plug the day job at the Fresno Bee, FresnoBee.com. Again, a lot of the stuff we talk about is culled from there. Just cause you know, it's a good news organization. I work for them, but I also think that, and then I have various musical projects. It'll Go Back is a punk band, Striking the Originals, also a punk band. We have a single that we released earlier this month, a cover of an REM song, and so that's something that you can go check out. It's on all of your it's not on Bandcamp because it's a cover, but it's on all the other platforms, so
you know, like
YouTube, Amazon, Spotify, all those kind of things.
All right, Spotify, look, search for what's the song.
So the song is called These Days. Okay. And Striking the Originals. And there's actually a video. We did a video that we put out on Facebook and Spotify, on Instagram and stuff too. So you can find it. Early REM. We punk it up a little bit more than REM did, but still, real rockin' song. Totally apropos Nice. The and then I have another band called the Downwinders. And we are working, I don't know if it'll actually be done for Christmas or not, but we wrote a Christmas, well, I didn't write it, but I played on a Christmas song. And so I think we're going to try to have that released in time for Christmas this year. And that'll be, you can find that, I think Downwinders on Instagram. I'm not sure we have a band camp yet, but we will. So, and I don't sing or do anything crazy. I just play guitar on that one. So, and then, I have another podcast that's an Aikido podcast, weekly Aikido podcast called Aikido Discussed. If you're into martial arts stuff, we do that every week, and that's on all your podcasting platforms. And then I'm thinking of it, and I need to see what, if people are, excited about it, then I'll probably do it. I'm going to start a newsletter myself.
Oh,
I'm going to reinstate Band Geek, but I'm going to do it as a, when Band Geek was the weekly kind of like music, Fresno music roundup I did. I'm going to reinstate it and do it just, kind of like local music news. So whatever comes up. So
that would be rad.
The first one will be, you know, local releases. So I'll talk a little bit about Patrick's and the emo thing, and then Samba 32 has a new album, and so, you know, I have a lot of this information that's coming in. I don't really have place for it, so I figure, like, oh, I could just put it in a quick little newsletter, shoot out to people, and there'd be just a place for people to find, like, you know, find out news about what's cool stuff that's happening, and eventually maybe it'll get into actual shows and that kind of stuff, but right now I think it's just going to be what I can find. So, nice. And that'll be on Substack. I created the thing, so I think you can go find it. And it's just Band Geek. And I think there's three E's in Geek, or four.
Oh, okay.
Six. So look for that Band Geek.
Band Geek.
Exclamation point. And that's at Substack. Or you could just, like, reach out to me if you're on Twitter or whatever and just go, like, hey, man, send me.
So you'll be ready for the first release when you can subscribe. And then. It'll be
I'm if I want to make sure that people would be interested in it before I really do it. Cause you know, my idea is to do it every week, but maybe just, it'll be every month. I don't know. We'll see depending on how many people are into it. So that's happening.
Cool.
I think that's it.
All right.
You got anything else? No, then
I'm good.
Count us out. 5, 4, 3, 2.